Tonight we are in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, chapter 13, and there are 25 verses here, and we're going to go through all 25 of them, so you know we're going to be moving along rather rapidly. But in order to get the content of the story, and it's a story that I'm sure many of you are already familiar with, we're going to have to cover all of them. And so we begin in chapter 13, the book of Judges, and we begin in verse 1. Judges chapter 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. And he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the children and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I command her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would he at this time have told us these things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we do come before you tonight and we praise you. We thank you for the word. We pray that, Lord, as we now begin to open the word of God together and as we begin to glean the surfaces of these wonderful verses, I just pray that our hearts might be ready as we approach the throne of grace. Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight. I pray that your Spirit would speak through me and show me what you would have me to bring to these folks. And I pray that you would bless them, Lord, through the preaching of the word of God and the teaching of the word of God. I pray that they would leave here saying that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. So, Father, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. The time of the judges was a time of great unrest in the nation of Israel. God had brought them into the promised land. God had made them a vital part of the land by now. He had brought them in. And during this period of about 450 to 470 years, God raised up judges. Now, he had brought the people into the land, and they had come into the land for the express purpose of conquering the land or slowly taking it over as God would reveal it to them and give it to them. But something happened to the nation of Israel when they came into the land. They began to look at the nation around them, and they began to look at each other as the enemy. And so it became tribe against tribe instead of the nation of Israel as one nation. And there were divisions among the people. And so God from time to time would bring someone or some people as an adversary for the people to make them come back to Him in prayer and to be united in the cause against the enemy and not to be divided among themselves. And so He raised up judges. And when we think of a judge, we think of someone who brings judgment against the people. That wasn't the purpose of the judges. The purpose of the judges was to be the leaders. They were to be leaders of the people. They were to be someone that the people could look to and know that God was blessing the nation and had the best interests of the nation at heart. Even though they could not see God, they could see the judge. And they knew that the judge was in power through the power of God. And so we come to this particular place in history where the Philistines have come onto the scene and they have been a thorn in the side of Israel. And God allows this to happen because the nation had been drifting again. The tribes had been looking at one another and had been in competition with one another instead of working with one another. And so the Philistines have been brought before their eyes. And now as a common enemy, the people of Israel begin to look and begin to pray for deliverance. And every time that they did that, God would raise up a man. God would raise up a judge. And tonight we're going to look at the birth of one of these judges. It says in verse 1 that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. You see, God's offer is an offer of deliverance. God will deliver us from sin, or if we demand our rights to sin, God will deliver us to judgment. And it's something that the church has learned, and it's something that the nation of Israel had to learn. That you must choose what the offer is that God has given. Will you be delivered from your sin or will you be delivered into judgment? In this case, the nation was delivered into judgment, into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah and of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. Zorah was not in the land of Dan. Zorah was in the land of Judea. But it was controlled and it was occupied by the Danites, primarily. And there was a man there who was a godly man. And he had obviously been praying, he and his wife, for a child. She was barren. And God answers his prayer, and God brings now a deliverer to the nation of Israel. And it says that, verse 3, the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. I want you to notice, because at first glance it would almost appear as though the angel says, behold, now thou art barren. But that's not what he's talking about. You see, the comma is behind the now. He says, behold now. In other words, pay strict attention to what I'm about to tell you. Now, pay attention to me. Thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. And no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. It's amazing what we can learn in the Scriptures because of the way that it's written, and here in this passage that he's talking to Manoah about his coming son, he shows us that there is a differentiation, there is a strict difference between the word wine and strong drink. Now that has been confusing to many Christians, and a lot of Christians do not understand. But here we see definitely a distinction made between wine, which is the fruit of the vine, and strong drink, which is a fermented form of alcohol. He said, I do not want you, as the mother of this child, to drink any wine, nothing that comes from the vine, no strong drink, in any form, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The tragic part of the story is that that's all Samson would do. He would begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Because Samson, though he had so much promise, Samson did not follow the ways of God. He foolishly squandered all that God had given him. But at this point, Manoah and his wife are ecstatic. Manoah not so much at this point because he doesn't know about it. But the wife is ecstatic. She's been waiting for this. She's been praying for this. And she comes in verse 6 and she tells her husband. She said, "A man of God came unto me. And his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name." She said, "I was so excited about the message that I forgot all about asking him who he was or where he came from." And she said, "I feel so foolish." But she said, "Listen, we're going to have a son. This is the answer to our dreams, the answer to our prayers." You see, it was a great shame for the women of Israel not to have a son or a daughter, to be barren. And so she was anxious to share the news of what the angel, or she didn't even realize it was an angel at this point, what the man had brought to her by way of a prophecy. He said unto me, "Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." She was looking forward to this. She had received very careful instruction about how to raise the child, but this was a tremendous responsibility. The Nazarites were not to cut their hair. They were to bear the shame of long hair. They were not to touch a body that was dead or any unclean thing, and they were not to drink of the fruit of the vine. They were not to touch anything of the fruit of the vine. These three things made up the vow of the Nazarite. And so this little boy that they had not had yet, but were about to have, would be a Nazarite. And he would be separated unto God from the womb. Now in verse 8 it says, "Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." I want you to notice that Manoah did not question his wife. He did not say, "Well, this is, are you sure? Are you positive that's what the man said?" No, he had great faith. He trusted his wife explicitly. He had great faith. But what he was concerned about was that in order to raise a Nazarite, he wanted to be absolutely certain that she had the credentials correct, that she had everything in place, because this was a tremendous responsibility. You see, he understood something that maybe she didn't at this point. He understood that if this was going to be a judge, an entire nation was at stake. And how that son was raised would determine the direction that the nation would take. And so he began to pray. He didn't question God, he began to pray, and he said, "Lord, would you please send the man that spoke to my wife? Would you send him unto us so that we can be absolutely certain how we are to teach that boy and how to raise that boy so that when he's born, we will do the will of God." And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Isn't this rather strange that he prays and yet the angel appears to her again? What was she doing in the field? Well, she was praying, but above all that, she was probably watching the flocks of her husband. I'm sure that she was busy. It's amazing how God uses busy people. It seems like the busier you are, the more God expects from you and asks you to do, because there are so many in the church and so many in the world that won't do anything that God asks them to do. So those who are busy wind up doing more and more and more. That's not the way it should be. But that's the way it is. She was busy, and God comes to her. This was a godly man and a godly woman that God wanted to use. And so he comes to her again. And when he comes, notice that in verse 10, it says, "The woman made haste, ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am." Something we notice about this woman She didn't say, there you are. I need for you to come with me. I need to prove to my husband that I talked with you. That's not what she said. She said, you stay here. I'm going to go get my husband and bring him to you. I'm going to get my husband and bring him to you. So if you would just stay here until I can get my husband back here, that's all I ask. And we don't see Manoah say, well, listen, woman, I'm busy. No, he says, if the man's there, I'll come. We don't know what he was doing, but whatever it was, he dropped it. And he went immediately to talk to the man because he knew how important this was. Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man. And he said, are you the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. Now it's obvious at this point that both Manoah and his wife thought that this man was a prophet of God. He certainly appeared as a man. He spoke as a man. And they at this point thought that he was a man. They thought he was a prophet. In verse 12 it says, Manoah said, "How now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? He said, I believe. I believe with all my heart what you've told my wife. Now let thy words come to pass. All we ask is that you tell us how we are to order the child and what we are to do unto him. And I want you to notice this, guys, because this is so important. Manoah understood that it was not just her responsibility to raise the child. That's why he wanted to talk to the angel. That's why he wanted to talk to this man. He understood that his wife was to have the child, but it was their responsibility, both he and his wife, to raise this child and to do it according to the will of God. He said, how shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? Now, something else that I want you to notice is that they didn't say, what is the child going to do? They're saying, what are we to do? He knew that God would take care of the child. He just wanted to make sure that he did what was right and what his responsibility was in raising the child. He knew that the nation of Israel was at stake. And so the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah in verse 13, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink. There's that distinction again. Nor eat any unclean thing. All that I command her, let her observe. Why? Because everything that would enter into that little boy while in the womb would first enter into his mom. And so she is told that she is not to do anything. She is to stay under the Nazarite vow for 9 months while that child is a part of her, so that she does not corrupt the child spiritually. And so Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord in verse 15, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. He said, I want to give you an offering of thanksgiving. I want to be able to give you a gift here. So he said, I'm going to make a kid. We're going to sacrifice, and we want to offer this to you. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. What he was going to do, if you remember right, if we go back to the time when the angel of the Lord visited Abraham, Abraham also made a kid ready, and the Lord sat down and ate with him. In this particular instance, though, he does not. This angel does not. For one thing, he doesn't, because Abraham knew. He recognized the angel of the Lord, and he knew who he was talking to. This man does not. He's getting ready to make an offering, and he doesn't know who he's making it to. He thinks it's a man, and it's not. It is much more than a man. It's an angel of the Lord. And so he tells him in verse 16, the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. Those that are true angels of God will not accept worship. But those that are angels that have fallen relish worship. That's why we have to be so careful. And that's why there's so many cults and so many different ideas about what is right and what is wrong and how do we worship God and where do we worship God and in what context do we worship God is because the angels that have fallen love to be worshipped. Satan loves to be worshipped, and he is. But the angels of God will not accept worship because they know that only one is worthy of worship, and it's the living God himself. And so he said, no, you must not offer it to me, you must offer it to the Lord. Now in verse 17, Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And what he means by that is, when the time comes that the child is born, and everyone wants to know who the angel was, or not the angel, but who the prophet was who came to us, and who brought us this wonderful news, how are we going to let them know if we don't know who you are? What tribe are you from? What's your name? We want to make sure that you get your due rewards. And furthermore, it was not uncalled for when a child was born and a prophet was involved that perhaps the child was named after the prophet or that a gift was given to the prophet after the child was born. This only proves that he was convinced that this was a prophet of God and not an angel. And so he asked him for his name. He said, where did you come from? What's your name? So that we can find you after the child is born and we can give to you a gift. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? The word secret here is a wonderful word because it means my name is wonderful. You remember that in the prophecy of Isaiah, where it spoke of the coming of the Christ, that his name would be called Wonderful. We also see that he's going to perform wondrously here in a few minutes. And so we begin to wonder, is this a pre-incarnate appearance of the Christ? Is this the Lord himself? His name is not given, he simply says it is secret. It's wonderful, too wonderful. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. What did he do? Well, if we go back to the time of Gideon, we remember that the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and he struck the flame that started the offering. And it's probably what he did here. He struck the flame. The angel did wondrously. All he did was lay it out upon the rock before God. And this angel began the flame which would consume the offering. And we find that the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on, for it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel followed their offering into the presence of the Father in heaven. He went by way of the flame. And you can imagine the look on the faces of Manoah and his wife as they had thought that they were dealing with a prophet, and now they suddenly realize that this was much more than a prophet. This was an angelic being. And they fell on their faces to the ground. They were petrified. They were afraid. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. I'm sure that they covered their faces as they lay on the ground waiting. Sooner or later, it would be almost comical if we were there, but sooner or later one of them had to peek. One of them had to look to see if the angel was there or not. And so they're looking at one another as they cover their faces and suddenly one of them look and he's not there. He doesn't appear anymore to them. So now they begin a conversation among themselves. Manoah said unto his wife, you realize that we're going to die because we've just seen God. And his wife said unto him, listen, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Reason number one, why we are not going to die. Reason number two, neither would he have showed us all these things. How am I going to have a son who's going to be a judge if God's going to kill us? Nor would at this time, would he have told us such things as these? If it was God, he would have known that we were looking at him, and he would have known that we could not possibly fulfill what he's told us to do because we were going to die. And so Manoah now starts to calm down a little bit, and he listens to his wife. And I'm sure that there are a lot of wives here that are saying they should do that more often. But he begins to listen to his wife. And now 9 months pass and the baby's born. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. Samson means little son or sunny. He was a ray of sunshine into the life of Manoah and his wife. He was a light which would shine in a deep and dark nation at this time. He was going to be a judge. He was going to be a Nazarite. He was going to be separated unto God and to the nation. And so they named him Samson, little son or sonny. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. The life of this man starts out with such wonder, such promise. He was to be separated. God was going to do wonderful things through this young man. But it turned out to be a tragic, tragic life. He was marked for greatness, but he accepted mediocrity. What Samson might have been was sacrificed for what Samson wanted. And the light of God that shone upon him at his birth became a cloud of great darkness which would descend upon a nation which was expecting much, much more. The first thing that we can assume as we read through this is that somehow Manoah and his wife did not raise this boy the way they should have. And yet we don't find that. We don't find God condemning them in any way. And we don't find him, Manoah, doing what Eli did. If we look back at Eli and his sons, we see that Eli made excuses for his sons. And in spite of their wickedness, he put them into a position of the priesthood, knowing that they were wicked. But we don't see Manoah doing that. If you go ahead and read the chapters about Manoah, we find that he and his wife both openly and publicly plead with Samson to remember his calling and to remember where he had come from and where this great strength and great power had come from and that he had been separated from the womb, and yet Samson wouldn't listen. Samson was not only strong of muscle, he was strong-willed. And he tasted sin and he liked it. And he came to the conclusion that with all of the blessings that God had bestowed upon him, he could do anything he wanted. And those blessings would still be there. And he figured wrong. He figured wrong. He used the gift that God had given him to glorify Samson and not to glorify God. And what a warning that is to us tonight as Christians. Those gifts that God give us and those things, those strengths that God has blessed us with, they are not for us. They are to be used for the glory of God. They're not to be used for our glory. They are to promote the name of Jesus Christ. The vow that he had been born under meant nothing to him. If you read the next few chapters, you'll find that he went down to the vineyards of Timnath. What was he doing in a vineyard? He wasn't supposed to come anywhere near the fruit of the vine. What was he doing in a vineyard? He was eating grapes. That's what he was doing. And so the first part of the vow was broken. And while he was there, a lion came to him. Perhaps the lion was sent by God to warn him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he rent that lion like it was nothing. He killed it with his bare hands. And perhaps God was telling him, reminding him where his strength came from, that he was not to be in that vineyard, to get out of it. But no. Now he killed the lion. And the next thing we see is that he comes back to that vineyard and he walks by the carcass of the lion. What's he doing back in that vineyard? Eating grapes. And what's he do when he sees the carcass of the lion? He helps himself to the honey that the bees had made in that carcass. Second part of the vow is now gone. Then we find him, a young fellow named Sonny, blinded. Blinded and dying in a temple to a pagan god. Because he refused to take what God had given him and use it for the glory of God. He gave up the third part of the vow. They cut his hair, and God walked away from him. We have such a wonderful, wonderful God. And he is so long-suffering. But there comes a time when we thumb our nose in God's face long enough that God will simply walk away. And he walked away from Samson. And Samson didn't know it. They put his eyes out. They mocked him. They tied him to the pillars of their pagan altar in their pagan temple. And that's where he died. What are you doing tonight with the gifts that God has given you? What are we doing as a church for the glory of God? That's something that we all have to answer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, as we look back at the life of Samson and we see the tragedy, Father, I pray that each of us might look at that life that God has given to us and that we might examine what we are doing for God. Are we doing anything? And if we are doing something, are we doing it for our own glory or are we doing it for the glory of God? Father, I pray. I pray that you would touch each heart here tonight. Help us, Lord, as we examine ourselves. And help us as we leave this place tonight, as we go out into the world, to look around us and to see all those who are living without God. Help us to be a witness, a testimony. Help us to glorify the name of Jesus. And we'll give you the glory. And we will praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymn books in closing tonight, if you would. Turn to number 196. Number 196, would you stand with me, please? Trust and obey, number 196.